pray with me. Father, there's no other name under heaven whereby men and women can be saved but by your name. And we know that there's a day coming when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that name. We confess that name right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Title of our message for the next few minutes is Way Out of No Way. An author by the name of Ron Mell tells a story about a grandpa and his little grandson. Grandpa walked into the family room and found his grandson, Jeffy, standing up in the playpen, crying his little eyes out. He looked pitiful. His face was red and he was tear-stained from crying. But when Jeffy saw Grandpa, his face lit up. And he reached his chubby hands up to his grandpa and said, "Out, Papa! Out!" Who could resist such a plea? So Grandpa walked over to the playpen, reached in to pick up Jeffy, and all of a sudden, out walks the law. That's Mom. Mom says, "No, leave him there. Jeffy's being punished. Leave him right there." Now, what's a grandpa to do? He couldn't interfere with a mother's discipline. What should he do? Is there a way out? Well, if we go to the book of Genesis, and I'll give you the end of the story in a few minutes. If we go to the book of Genesis, what was God to do? God gave strict instructions in Genesis chapter 2 and Genesis chapter 3 about man and how he should relate to a tree in the garden. In fact, in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15, I'll start reading. "Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat from it, for in the day that you eat of it,'" what will happen, everybody? Oh, we know that passage. "You will surely die," according to the Bible. And just that little old tree. And man disobeyed God's word. And because of that, sin entered into the heart of man. And in fact, Isaiah 59 and verse 2 says, "But your sins have separated you from God." And because of that disobedience, sin continues to enter our hearts. And sin has made a mess of society today. The headlines speak to the sin problem. It has permeated society. And in the words of Billy Graham, we really do need to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. What a mess sin has made of this world. So what is the answer? What is the way out? Is there a way out of no way? love always finds a way. Back to the story of Grandpa and Jeffy. Since Grandpa couldn't take Jeffy out of the playpen, he decided that he would climb in to the playpen. Can you see him? Grandpa says, "If you're in, I'm in. Whatever your sentence is, it's my sentence. However long you're there, I'm there." Grandpa put his big self in that playpen in Jeffy's cell and gave him comfort in his captivity. Love always finds a way. And in the issue of sin, God found a way. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, the text we used last week, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have, what everybody? Everlasting life. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God decided to pitch his tent among us. What was a holy God to do with the sin problem? He climbed into the playpen with us. He decided to become one of us. We often quote John 14, that Jesus is coming again. He's preparing a place for us. And if he prepares a place for us, of course, he's coming again to receive us to him. But you know, the only way that that could happen was that Jesus would make the decision to become one of us. Now, from this point on, in this season of the year, we will talk about the baby. I hope, I always get strange looks at this time of the year when I start talking about the baby, because we just think it's just the baby story. Before, it's about God's great love for you. I hope you get that. This season of the year, I want us to take another look at God's great love. Do you know you have no way out except for God made a way? God loves us. And he was willing to come to this earth and die for you and me. I can only say thank you. And that does not do justice to how good God has been. This morning in Sabbath school, we took a moment talk about what we were thankful for. And this has been a very interesting year, hasn't it? It has been challenging, to say the least. You know, I'm glad that God gives us short memories. Oh, I couldn't have made it through this year. I have to sometimes remember, I have to think about, I know there were some bad things happened this year, but you know what, I'm hard-pressed to remember them. Isn't God good? And so I want you to take just a moment before we separate to wash one another's feet. When we wash one another's feet, it's an opportunity for us to just join our hearts together as one. And so we kind of wash all of the stuff off, all this accumulated dirt that went on this past quarter, to kind of wash it off. And if we wash one another's feet, of course, we want to make our hearts right with our brothers and sisters, correct? So it's an opportunity for the body of Christ to come together and to just make things right. To be as one. Amen? And then after we do that, we've made it right with our brother and sister, then we come to the table with joy. Keeping the solemnity of the service, but yet being happy to be at the table as one big family. Oh, you know, the Bible doesn't give how many times you can have communion. Some churches do it every week. That's certainly biblical. We don't do it every week. I think it's the logistics of foot washing and all of the things that go along with it, but it's certainly biblical for those who do that. But it's an opportunity for us to come together as one, as the family of God. And so I welcome that. And I hope you will take that time to join your hearts back with each other. But I want to take just a few minutes to give you an opportunity to either stand or sit where you are and to tell what you're thankful for. Now, we certainly won't have time in the midst of communion for everybody to do that, but we can take time for a few who want to do that. And maybe you can take, if I ask you to take a half minute, I know you'll take a minute. Right? It's impossible. How can you tell what you're thankful for in a minute? I know I'm asking you to do the impossible. But Roger, would you help me with that mic and just lift your hands, and Roger will come and take care if you want to share what you're thankful about.
Thank you. I am so grateful for Jesus, who knew that all of heaven changed when things happened there, and he came here to save us, this dusty little planet. And I'm just a nobody on it, but I am his child, and I know that each one of us here are. I'm so grateful for family, because we are a family, part of that family of heaven, and I want to be there one day soon. There's so much sadness and pain in my life, and I know so many people that are too. But I pray for us all that we'll be ready for that soon coming of Jesus.
Amen. Oh, right there, Roger. Lois.
What I have to be thankful for today is one of the most, a lot of you here knew my husband had cancer. And last week Friday, his exam showed that he did not have any trace of cancer. And I am thankful to have my daughter-in-law back home with us and a beautiful family that I get to be a part of here in San Diego.
Amen. Just lift your hands. Don't be bashful. Okay.
I want to thank the Lord Jesus Christ for all the gifts he showers upon all of us here on earth, and that he's shown me so much to trust in him and to leave all my belongings behind, which I am doing in the process of the worldly things, and that he will still carry me no matter what. And it's bringing so many people together in showing me that they do have a loving and caring heart in their prayers and the gifts they've been sharing with me. And I want to thank you all for your prayers for me and my family. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm very thankful for our church family. This is the first time I would like to say praise the Lord and thanks for this church. For the ordinations during the midst of the fire, and the church pulled together for the ordinations. My mother came here for the ordination, and then 10 days later, she passed. And the church family rallied around us with phone calls and cards and everything. So I praise the Lord. And even the loss of our niece. And I'm tired of crying and mourning, but just to praise the Lord, to hear good news and the message preached is a great thanks to God for having us celebrate His death and His sacrifice for all of us. So praise the Lord for this Sabbath.
Don't be bashful. A couple of more. Okay, up front, Michael.
I want to thank God for the assurance of His Word. We live in a world where people are skeptical about everything, where anything goes and you can do anything and cannot be judged by anything that you do and all the political incorrectness that goes around. But I want to thank God. He is politically incorrect. Because He demands from us a certain way of life, but then He gives us His life. And there is nothing else that anyone can stand up against the Word of God and His assurance that He has given us His salvation, not for anything that I have done, but all because of what He has done in spite of everything that I have done. And I praise God and give Him thanks for that.
Okay. Pass it to Stella.
I am thankful to our Heavenly Father that we are living in a grand and awful time. I'm thankful for all His precious promises in the Bible because they are sure. And I'm thankful for His love that is always there for each and every one of us. And help us all to cling to Jesus because He's coming soon. And I know He will say, will He find faith on the earth? So we need to pray that He will strengthen our faith from day to day. And I thank Him for this. Amen.
Anyone else? While the mic is close to you, grab it. Linda. And we'll take a couple of more.
Last year at this time, I was kind of lonely after losing my friend Gloria and sorry for myself. And this year, I found out how many friends I really have here that love me and care for me. I can hardly keep up with you. And I'm grateful for all the love that the Lord has shown through you to me this year.
Come on, more. Come on. The Lord is telling me one more. All right, in the back. All right. Fatty Joe.
I wanted to say thank you to the Lord and thank you all for your prayers. About a year ago, my brother came down with one of those rogue strains of staph and was very close to dying. And I asked for prayers, and I'm just really thankful to the Lord that he is fully recovered. And also I want to say thank you for saving my child. My daughter is a very talented young lady. To be honest, some of you know that at some point during her adolescence, I didn't think she was going to make it. And that's because of just having difficulties. But the happy ending is that she's married and she's settled down and she has a job and two beautiful children. And to me, that is just such a miracle because that was very unexpected that would be the end.
I want to say this to thank you so much, the Lord, for so kind and good, because I was came from San Diego to go to Vista to meet my family there. And God was sending me back over here today. And I thank you so much for I see my nephew Pastor Mata Afa and my niece Unitive for a weekend together today for the community. It's my first time to hear for the community this year. And I thank you, God, for sending me over here today. And I praise the Lord for all things He done for us. And I praise the Lord because there were so many things we go through for family. And I say, thank you, Jesus, because even how much we are, we suffer for this world, and He always reach out and touch us, the heart and the mind. And that's why I thank you for help me for driving a long way over here. And that's my praise to the Lord. For I thank you so much, Pastor. Thank you for this church. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you. We'll let that be the word for now. And we're going to take an opportunity to separate for the washing of feet. If you did not come prepared, you didn't know we were having communion, we invite you to, you can remain here if you want to, and we'll be back at the table in 15 minutes or so, and we'll partake of the emblems. And so whatever you're comfortable with, we want you to be comfortable here for our guests. And we have open communion, and if you're of the body of Christ, you join us and participate if you would so desire. So this time we're going to separate. We have our fellowship hall should be available to just about take care of most of us. We do have a section there. We just cordon off a section for our ladies, and then families, you can join together as families as you so desire. So please ask our deacons. They'll give you directions to where we are to go. And so I'm going to ask you at this time if you would separate for the washing of feet. There'll be there people there who will help you. And then come back to sanctuary, and we'll partake of the emblem. So let's separate at this time.